shiur is entitled Entering into the Holy of Holies in a World Which is Lacking a Beis HaMikdash. I will not, I think in today's shiur, be representative of my most creative undertakings. Neither will I think that this is a big chidushin, such new ideas. But I do think that what I will say is very true, and it's something that all of us have to be aware of, and hopefully will spread to others as well, because I think probably most of us do not properly focus upon what we're going to learn today in this particular shiur. We know that in Acharei Mot, in the Torah, we have a discussion of the Kohen Gadol and his avodah on Yom Kippur. And we know that the Kohen Gadol was able to go into Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and he was the only one who was able to go in there. And just once a year he went in on Yom Kippur, and no one else could go with him. He had to go on his own. And there he was Omed Lifnei Hashem, he stood before God. And it was a tremendous thing that the Kohen Gadol had the ability to do this. Today, of course, we have no Beis HaMikdash, and we have no Holy of Holies. And yet, we will see that that idea is still very relevant. The Gemara Brachot in Source 1, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, says as follows. And we're going to, for time's sake, not go through the proof text per se. We're just going to give you the main halachic value of this source. It says, Omei b'chutz la'aretz yikavein et libo k'neged Eretz Yisrael. If a person is davening, and he's standing outside of Israel, he should, look into the translation, he should intend his heart, focus his heart to the land of Israel. And then there's a proof text for that. At the end of the line it says, Haya omed beretz Yisrael, yikavein et libo k'neged Yerushalayim. If you are standing in Israel, then you should focus your heart toward Jerusalem. Down another few lines, it says, Omei Yerushalayim, Yikavin et Libo, Keneged Beit HaMikdash. If you're already in Jerusalem, so then you should focus your heart toward the temple. Omei Beit HaMikdash, if you're standing at the temple already, Yikavin et Libo, Keneged Beit Kodshi HaKodashim. Then you should have intent for the place of the Holy of Holies. Haya Omeid Bebeit Kodesh HaKodashim, Yikavin et Libo Keneged Beit HaKaporet. If you're already in the Holy of Holies, which you mean the High Priest, if you're already in the Holy of Holies, then you should focus your heart toward the gold cover over the Ark, the Kaporet, where the Kerubim would be, and right in the middle where God's voice would come to speak from that point. It then says, a little further down, four lines from the bottom, Nim Saomed b'mizrach machzir panav l'mariv. If you are standing in the east, you would turn toward the west. B'mariv machzir panav l'mizrach. If you were in the west, you would turn, now we're saying turn your face, look what it says, not intend your heart, but turn your face toward the east. B'darom machzir panav l'tzavon. If you're in the south, you turn your face toward the north. In the north, you turn your face toward the south. It says, Nimsu kol Yisrael mikuvanin et liban lemakom echad. It turns out then that all Jews will be focusing their hearts toward one place. That one place being Eretz Yisrael. Look at source number two. Source two, we're going toward the bottom. This is where the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah and Hilchos Tefillah discusses the mitzvah, the Torahidic mitzvah, according to the Rambam, according to the Ramban, it's just rabbinic. According to the Rambam, the Torahidic mitzvah to pray every day. And if you go down toward the bottom, in Gimel, three lines from the bottom of that paragraph, over on the left, it says, V'akol yiyu mipalalim nochach hamikdash, b'chol makom shiyah. And everyone should be facing, should be davening toward the mikdash, toward the temple, in any place where they will be. V'chein haya davar tamid mimoshe Rabbeinu v'yad Ezra. And so was this always, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Ezra. In other words, Jews always faced the mikdash. Now, of course, we did not have a Beit HaMikdash in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but we had a mikdash, Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'docham. We had a mikdash, namely the Mishkan. And there too, the Rambam says, already that far back, the custom was that one should face that holiness, that aspect of holiness when davening. The Rambam also says in Sefer HaMitzvot, Halacha Hei, Mitzvah Haseh, says there as well, that also one would always daven facing toward the Mikdash. In
source number three, we have an interesting quote here. This is from Rabbi Ganak's book called Gan Shoshanim. Rabbi Ganak, the head of the OU and a top Talmid of Rav Soloveitchik, he writes, Kishibanu mitchila et habet hakneset tekila todesh shomrei emuna shani rav sham. When we built our synagogue in Englewood, New Jersey, the synagogue shomrei emuna, where I'm the rabbi, umitchila betochnit lo haya aron hakodesh bitzad mizrach. At first, when we created the synagogue and the aron, so the aron hakodesh was not in the east. Vishalti et mori v'rabi al zayas Rav Soloveitchik, my teacher and my mentor on this. He said, you have to change the architectural plans. Even if you're going to lose money, thousands of dollars, let's say, as a result of changing the plans and the whole structure, still, you have to do so so that the Aron will be specifically in the east. And Soloveitchik showed me the Rambam that we just saw to indicate that when you daven, it's a Torah-itic idea that you must be facing toward the Mikdash. It's not just a rabbinic idea or a custom, you know, we face toward the east or toward the Mikdash. It's not just an idea, I'm saying toward the east in terms of our situation. But generally you have to face toward the Mikdash, that's a Torah-itic idea. If someone is not facing toward the Mikdash, then they are violating a Torah concept. And Rav Soloveitchik made him go ahead and change the fact of how a synagogue was being built. In fact, if you take a look at source number 6, we'll skip to there for a moment, in the middle, third one down, there it says in the Mishnah Brura, over to the left a little, the fisha tzarich li palel etzad mizrach, since you have to face toward the east, nagu li gvoa ha'ichal shatatara betocho bekotel mizrachi. That's why, he says, our custom is, the Chafetz Chaim says, that we put the ark toward the east. We generally face east, and thereby you have to have the ark in the eastern direction. If you can't do it in the east, you should put the ark, he says, in the south. Certainly not to the west. He says you shouldn't put it in the west for sure. People be facing the other way. Then where I have it underlined, umiu afilu kavu ahechal bikotel acher sharif limitpalel achzir panav lemizrach. And even if, however, the aron was put in the wrong place, you still have to daven toward the east. That is to say, many times, for example, shuls are built after a church has closed down, or some other building has closed down, and the direction of the seats happen to be in a certain direction. And let's say that direction is such that the Aron, the way you know the architect tells you, is going to be facing not the east, you're going to be facing, let's say, the north or some other direction. So the Mishnah Brura says, even if the ark is in the wrong place, you don't face the ark when you daven. You face east. So if the ark was over here, we were all standing this way to daven in a certain shul, so if we knew that east was this way, so when it came to Shemona Esrei, we would not face the ark. And Mr. Bruce says we would all turn and we would face the east. Not that this is necessarily the Minag HaOlam, this is not necessarily the custom, but in fact he says that this is what should be done. Some of you who went to Yeshiva University know that in the main base Medrash, the Aron HaKodesh does not face toward Eretz Yisrael, which creates a whole set of problems for people there. And there are basically three different shitas that express themselves. Let's say, in the Aron HaKodesh at YU, the Aron is this way, but east happens to be this way. So what do people do? So some people, they face the Aron. After all, that's where the Torah is. So unlike the Mishnah Brura, you face the Aron. Many of those people, I'd say, do that. Other people, there are some people, few of them, but those who know the statement of Rav Soloveitchik and the Rambam, who actually totally do not face this way at all and totally turn this way toward this wall to daven Shemona Esrei. Then there's the in-between view. You know how Jews are, like with the mezuzah, this way or that way, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So there's the in-between view that holds that you kind of go like this
and you look like you don't know what you're doing. You know, you kind of go in between, and you go this way, which is what David Lifshitz did, in fact, the Rav of that shul, and which many people seem to do. When I'm there davening at YU, I kind of look like, I try to be very dignified usually, I kind of look like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm kind of like facing this way, because on the one hand, some say you shouldn't face away from the Aron, you shouldn't face not east, so you go kind of in between to kind of, fulfill that idea. So anyway, you've probably been in shuls. I've been in shuls that have the Aron in the wrong place. The Mishnah Berurah says you should face east, even if the Aron has the Torah in another direction. Now, so far, there's no chidushim, and you probably know you're probably falling asleep. Wake up, some of you. Nothing has happened yet. Here's where we have our big chiddush. Take a look at 3a. Source 3a on the bottom. Still in the right-hand column, but kind of in the middle. See it? The Shulchan Aruch brings down the halacha as follows. It says, when a person gets up to daven, if he is davening outside of Israel, he should turn toward Israel. That's exactly what we said in the Gemara, right? No problem. But watch this. Gam but a person is required not just to face or to have his heart focused upon the land of Israel if he's outside of Israel. That's what the Gemara seemed to say. No. You have to be like a lens here. You have to be like a zoom lens. You have to think of yourself when you start the Shemona Esrei, I'm now going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm now going to Yerushalayim. I'm now going to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say the Kotel for our purposes. I'm now going to the Kodesh HaKodashim. I'm now going inside the Parochet, or the Kaporet at the Kodesh HaKodashim. That's what he says you have to do. Even if you live outside of Israel, it's not enough, like the Gemara said, just to think I'm going toward the Mikdash or toward Eretz Yisrael. I have to go all the way into the Kodesh HaKodashim, just like the Gemara said someone who was already at the place of the Beis HaMikdash had to do. Someone who was already at the Mikdash, the Gemara says, he goes toward the Kodesh HaKodashim. But now the Shulchan Aruch learns it to mean not just that person, but anyone who davens, even the Chutz La'aretz, he says, has to have the interior Kavanah, starting from the wide breadth of Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kodesh HaKodashim, and then presumably even to the Kaparet in the Kodesh HaKodashim, which of course we've never seen the Kodesh HaKodashim either, but you have to go that deep. Hayor Omeid Beretz Yisrael. Then he says, if you were in Israel, the third line down, Yachzir Panav Keneged Yerushalayim V'Kabein Gam LeMikdash U'LeBeit Kodesh HaKodashim. Same thing if you're in Israel, so then you think of Yerushalayim, and then you think of the Mikdash, and then you think of the Kodesh HaKodashim. Hayor Omeid Yerushalayim, if you're in Jerusalem, you have to then, it's not enough, you have to think that I'm at the Mikdash, and then the Kodesh HaKodashim, and that's the basic halacha. And finally, imit palel leruach mishar ruchot. If you are davening toward another direction, which is the wrong direction, not where the mikdash is, yitzade panav letzad eretz Yisrael imhu b'chutz la'aretz Yerushalayim b'eretz Yisrael the mikdash im Yerushalayim. If you're facing the wrong direction, he says you should try to turn your face toward the right direction. If this way, you know, sometimes you're in the middle of davening, like at a hotel, at a wedding, and sometimes you realize you're not facing east. So then you should at least turn your face, he says, toward the east. If you're already stuck, your feet are already there, you should try to turn toward the proper direction. But what we see here is that when a person davens, he is supposed to, when he starts the Shemona Esrei, have the intent, not just as most people probably think, I'm already facing toward Eretz Yisrael, I'm already facing that way, I don't have to do anything. No. You have to step forward and you have to think Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, Kodesh HaKodashim, and enter the Kodesh HaKodashim, if you will, and then initiate your Shemona Esrei. I doubt very much if very many people do this. Let's go to source number 4. Source number 4 says, Niruch HaShulchan, Diyesh Lahavin Mahu Lashon Yikavin Et Libo. The Ruch HaShulchan says, what is it? What does it mean here when it says that a person should focus his heart? What do you mean focus your heart? When we daven, we face a certain direction. What do you have to do with focusing your heart? Hatzarik v'chatzir panav. That's what he says. You have to turn your face toward that direction, don't you? What does it mean you have to focus your heart? What's it mean? So where it's in the middle, I have an underline, but Tzarif Lamar, the Haki Kamar, the Eino Dai, the Haksarat Panim Bilvad. He's telling you it's not enough just to have your face turning toward that direction. Elashi Yikavein Libo,
loto makom hakodesh. Rather, you have to have your hearts focused upon that as well. And then you fulfill the obligation of the Beit Yosef told you. So number one, you have to be facing the correct direction. And number two, you have to be focusing inwardly upon the places we have indicated, going all the way to Yerushalayim, the Samitash, and the Kodesh HaKodashim. In source number 5, in the Pshat Iyun, this is Rav Sturenbach's commentary on Masechet Brachot, he says, as the Gemara said, that everyone then has all their intent focused on one place. He says, Mikana Makor, the Mashkatab Shulchan Aruch. This is the source of the Shulchan Aruch that we saw. Shafilu Mipalel Mizrach, Eretz Yisrael, Mipalel Eretz Yisrael, Kivun Yerushalayim, Lo Yatsa Be Mitzvata. He says, you did not fulfill the mitzvah of davening if you did not focus properly, as the Gemara said, going all the way through to the place of the Beis Hamikdash. Why is that? Because we just said, he quoted the Gemara. It says, Nimsu, it turns out that if you follow this prescription, that everyone will have their kavana toward one place. Now, when I did it in the Gemara, I did it broadly. I said they must mean Eretz Yisrael, because it said here in the Gemara that everyone didn't have to have intent for the Kodesh HaKadashim, we thought, only for Eretz Yisrael. But now that we learn from the Shulchan Aruch that everyone has to have their intent toward the Kodesh HaKadashim, it turns out that that's the one place everyone is talking about here. And namely, says Rav Sturenbach, for the idea to be that everyone's prayer go to one place, then everyone must have kavana for the Kodesh HaKadashim. Bitamua me'od shalom nisarim bazeh klal. And it's amazing, it is surprising that people are not careful about this at all. Vehi halacha mifureshet b'shulchan aruch, and it is a clear cut halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Uma'od, and more than that, as we mentioned, shibarambam b'sefer mitzvot mitzvah dalid. That's a mistake. It should be mitzvah hey. Mitzvah hey in the sefer mitzvot shechiyuvo minatorah. This is a Torahitic obligation to have that type of focus whenever you daven. And yet he says people generally don't do it. People don't do it. Source number 7. Again, the Mishnah Brura, he says, look at the Achronim, that they all agree. Look at the second line there, source 7. Debeminatenu she'einanu yoshvin b'maraba shel Eretz Yisrael. We who live, now he lived in Poland, right? We who lived in Poland, to the west of Eretz Yisrael, he says. Mikavein rak note gam kein litzvono. We're to the west and to the north of Eretz Yisrael. We always hear people say, now face east. For them, also, people were facing east, but it wasn't correct, because they're not west of Eretz Yisrael, they're west, but they're also north. Therefore, the proper place, he says, to put the Aron Kodesh would not be toward the east, but toward the southeast. Toward the southeast. And then, when a person davens, he says, he will be facing, as we said, toward the Kodesh HaKodashim. So people have to realize, again, we always say, which way is Mizrach? Just hope we understand, even from where we are, Eretz Yisrael is southeast. It's not east. It's southeast. So technically, we should be asking, which way is southeast? Or if you have a compass, and you're here somewhere, and you're looking to daven, you shouldn't be facing east. You should be facing southeast. That's the proper way one should go. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, in source number 8, up above, V'hinei Rabotein HaRishonim Shayu B'Tzarfat V'Ashkenaz Ati Shapir Shemidinot Elu Omdot Mamish B'Marava Shel Eretz Yisrael. It makes sense that those people who lived in Germany and France, those people who lived in those countries, they faced directly east, because they were directly west of Eretz Yisrael. Aval, he says, Rabbeinu Rama Shayat B'Polin, but the Rama, and also, says the Aruch HaShulchan, those of us in Russia, he says, Shaom B'Tzapon Olam, we're north, in Kenanachnu Neged Marivit Tzaponi. We are west and north, and we have to face southeast toward Eretz Yisrael. Ukishanu Omdim Litzad Mizrach Eino Mamish Keneged Eretz Yisrael. If we would daven east, it's not directly facing toward Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he says, different Gedolim have raised the issue, why is this? And he says, indeed, this should be the case. He does suggest going down in the next two paragraphs that one can perhaps defend those who do this. He says it doesn't mean you have to be exact. You can just have a general kind of facing toward that direction. You should be mekaveh libo toward that direction. But basically, the idea is for sure we should be ideally facing toward the southeast. In fact, the halacha is, Rabosai, very interestingly, if you were facing, let's say, north, and you davened, you're facing north, but you had the intent, I am facing the Mikdash, the Kodesh HaKodashim, all the way, then you are Yotzei, you're davening. If, however, you are facing east, or we'll say southeast, but you did not have Kavana for Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKodashim, you are not Yotzei, as Rav Shornbach and others point out. You are not Yotzei. Even if you are facing the wrong direction, as long as your libo is, that's where the difference comes in. If your heart is facing the right direction, if your focus is the right direction, even though you'll go facially, you're not pointing the right direction, then you are still Yotzei. But on the other hand, if you are facing the right direction, but you just go right into davening and you just think, I'm already facing the right direction. As most people think when they go into a shul, you know, it's facing the right direction, I don't have to think anything else. Then you are not Yotzei. Because you have not further, focused your mind upon the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim, as we are indicating, where one enters today, even without a Beis HaMikdash, toward the Kodesh HaKodashim. So Lubavitchik in Source 9 indicates something else. He says, "Betfila yesh kiyum hakrava." When we daven, there is a fulfillment of hakrava, of bringing a sacrifice. In other words, what is the idea? When you daven, you have to focus on coming into the Kodesh HaKodashim, into the Beis HaMikdash. Why? This is called tefillah. What does that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? What does tefillah have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? I'm davening now. I'm not bringing a korban. The Beis HaMikdash, you brought korbanos. What's that have to do with davening? She says, "Amitalel hu v'habalim hamakrivin et korban." When you daven, you are actually like a person bringing a sacrifice. Ke'amar k'shirebi Yoshua ben Levi amar, Yoshua ben Levi said, "Masek brachot dav kavav." We know there's a famous Gemara that says, there's a machlokas, were the prayers established parallel to the Avos, and that our ancestors established Shacharit, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, or were the tefillot established because in the Beis HaMikdash there was a morning offering and an afternoon offering? So the Gemara says, many hold this way, that we do it because of what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that mean? You might think it means we have prayers that are parallel to the times when they brought sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. But says Rav Soloveitchik, that's not the case. Hulo ki kvarein rak l'tzayein, ki hein tachlif l'korban. Doesn't mean to say this was like in exchange for the sacrifice at the time of the sacrifice. Ela likvoa ki hein ki korban mamish. Rather, prayer is mamish like a sacrifice. Raya l'davar, he said, I'll bring a proof to you of this. Halakha kovat ki lefamim l'mashal imayim. Yashikor or Hutzrach from the Kavab, the person davens and he's drunk, or he has to go to the bathroom. Tfilato shel adam toiva. It says in the Gemara that is an abomination when a person has to do that. Consequently, he says the phrase toiva, abomination, Eino shayach l'sha'ar mitzvot. It's not used generally by other mitzvahs. It's used specifically by a korban, by a sacrifice. Usually you say someone did something, it's pasul. It's no good. You don't say it's toiva. But in this case, by a davening that is appropriate, you use the word toiva, which is the same word you use as by a sacrifice. So Soloveitchik says that consequently, when Chazal said this view, that basically you offer a tefillah, and if the tefillah is corrupted and wrong, then it's an abomination. They meant to say that tefillah, which is parallel to the korbanos, is because tefillah is now the korbanos. Tefillah represents now the korbanos. When you daven shacharis, you are bringing a korban. When you daven mincha, you are bringing that korban. They represent themselves, the real sacrifices. That being the case, he says something amazing. He says, "Anu amrim b'shemona esrei." We say in the davening, "Shtei brachot zo achar zo." Two blessings, one after the other. Shebe mishkal rishon. It seems at first glance, glance, domot, they're like the same brachas, the same prayers. The Yeshbayan Mishum Kifilut. And it seems like they're just a repetition of each other. What are they? Shema Kolenu, we say, God, hear our prayer. And then we say, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu B'Amcha Yisrael Tzvatam. Then we say again, God, hear our prayer, hear the prayer of the Jewish people. It's the same thing. Hear our prayer, hear our prayer. Why do we double up? Why do we repeat? Why is it that we have this done twice? Hatshuva hi, ki shema koleinu chotemet seder habrachot ba'emsiyot shehein bakashat rachamim. He says the prayer of shema koleinu concludes the prayers where we have made requests from God. Ve'ilu ritzei hofeich et atfilah lekorban. But what does Ritzei do, Rabosai? Ritzei, the prayer of Ritzei, takes the previous prayers and makes them into a sacrifice. We say, Ritzei Hashem Elokim Mechayi Tzvatam, God, accept their prayer, right? And then we go right into why does he say that words? Because the very language of ritzui, accept this, God, accept this. Again, just like toeva, abomination is used specifically by korbanot, the word ritzui is always used with reference to korbanot, with sacrifices. So the prayer ritzei comes to transform our prayer into a korban, into a sacrifice, which means even today, when God accepts from us our desires, our offerings, He accepts a korban even today. And that when we bring it to Him, we go there in the Kodesh HaKodashim, when we start our tefillah, and then bring this korban to Him. Why don't we go in even more to the Mizbeach? Because the idea is you're supposed to focus upon the Shechina, not focusing on a particular thing. Even the Kodesh Kodashim, as we said in the first source, you're supposed to focus on the Kaporet and God's voice coming out between the Kruvim. So it's Tefillah is compared to Omid Lifnei HaShechina, like you're standing in front of the Shechina. They don't want you to focus upon a specific event, the Korban, the sacrifice, the knife, the Mizbeach. Every davening, I would say, we have the ability to become the Kohen Gadol, every Jew, on a daily basis, post-Korban Beis HaMikdash. As strange as that sounds. Or maybe it isn't so strange. When you really had a Beis HaMikdash with the real, actual, physical Kedusha there, right, or spiritual Kedusha, whatever you want to call it. So there, you know, all the rules apply. Not everyone could just go into the Kodesh Kodashim. But in a world where we are lacking the Beis HaMikdash, one of the most brilliant things that the rabbis did was they said, when you daven, why should I say the rabbis? Because the Rambam says it's Torah-idic. Even though this is the post-Beis HaMikdash, now the Rambam says it's Torah-idic, even the time of the Mishkan in the desert, before he had a Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But the rabbis did, you know, they continue to emphasize the idea that even without a Beis HaMikdash, you can still see yourself at the Beis HaMikdash. And you can do that, and every Jew can do that on a regular basis. Every Jew can be like the Kohen Gadol. I would say it's like the Rambam at the end of Shemitah and Yovel. We've said this before, some of you recall this. The Rambam says that we know B'nai Levi had a certain relationship with Hashem. But he says there that anyone can be B'nai Levi, called by Olam. Any person, he says, Jew, even a non-Jew, the Rambam says, called by Olam, can be, if they focus themselves upon the Kedusha of the Torah, they can be, he says, this phrase, Kodesh HaKodashim. They can be the Holy of Holies. Anyone. You don't have to be the Kohen Gadol. So, anyone who focuses properly upon Torah, upon his Avodas Hashem, has the ability to come to that level of being in or like or experiencing the event of the Holy of Holies. In fact, I'd even say it's interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, do non-Jews have to pray? So I would have said, no, what do you mean? It's not one of the Zion mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Of course not. Non-Jews don't have to pray. But he has a tshuva, I recall, he says they have to pray. This came up, I remember, when the question came up about school prayer. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Rav Moshe Feinstein was in favor of it at the time, originally. And the Aguda, originally, they were in favor of school prayer. They thought it was a good thing. Why shouldn't people believe in God? Why shouldn't people pray to God? Why not? What's wrong with it? Then there came a later time where even the Aguda and others, Rav Moshe, were perhaps against it, because then the problem became people putting in Yeshu into the prayers and other things, and then you're going to have Jews there who are going to be doing Avodah Zarah. But originally, people thought it was a good thing. In this tshuva, Rav Moshe writes that non-Jews also have a requirement
requirement to daven. He said, well, they have a requirement to daven. How could that be? It's not one of the Zion mitzvahs. How could that be? He says they have a requirement to believe in God. Where is that also? One of the Zion mitzvahs says you can't worship Avodah Zarah. Where does it say they have to believe in God? The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that it's not enough for a non-Jew to believe in the Zion mitzvahs and not believe in Avodah Zarah. It's also implied he has to believe in his Zion mitzvah. Some of you know this because God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu through Har Sinai, right, to give the Zion mitzvahs to the non-Jews. And once that's the case, you have to believe in God as well. And Moshe says, if you have to believe in God, you have to believe in a God who, of course, provides you with things. And when you're in need, you have to ask Him for things. So, anyway, Moshe says it. I'm just pointing out that even a non-Jew, would we go so far to say a non-Jew in his tefillah has to have in mind the Kodesh HaKodashim? I don't know if you have to go that far. But even a non-Jew can become this idea, the Rambam says, of Kodesh Kodashim, of the Kohen Gadol. It's a Gemara, actually, you were doing it on Avodah Zarah, Dav Gimel, Amid Aleph. It says, Amar Rabbi Meir says, even a non-Jew, a tefillah, it says Akum, but the Meshech Chochma reads, it has to mean a Ben Noach, not an Akum, not an idolater. But a tefillah Ben Noach, even a non-Jew who is Oved Hashem properly, it says, Harehu Kikohen Gadol. That person is like the high priest who could enter into the Holy of Holies. So even a non-Jew has that possibility. That's already that Rambam in the Shemitah and Yovel source is already to be found in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And when one is in the Kodesh HaKodashim with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so one is in there beyichud, one is in there alone, intimate with Hashem. Just like we have a notion of yichud, you're not allowed to be with a member of the opposite sex, secluded in a place. You have an idea of yichud with like the Rebbe for Hasidim. You have yichud with the Rebbe. You're alone in a room with the Rebbe. So we have every day, when we daven, three times a day, we have the ability to be yichud, alone, intimate with Hashem. When I daven, I think, I go in there, I'm in the Kodesh Kodashim, like I have the talis on, the door's locked behind me. And I'm in there alone with Ribbono Shel Olam. I can say anything to Him. I am alone. No one else is there. There may be 100 people around me davening with me. But I am alone there and I can say whatever I want to say. It's a beautiful idea. All of us have that possibility to do that if we focus on being in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And then Rav Soloveitchik says, back to source 10, the second paragraph. He says, L'chora tzarich iyun, ma tiva shel halacha zu. He says, what is this idea that you have to see yourself like in the Kodesh Kodashim, and your prayer has to be transformed into korban, into a sacrifice? Omnam, he says, v'fi amuvuar, hakol ole yafeh, beit hamikdash u'makom ritzui tfila v'korban. The temple is the place where prayer and sacrifice is accepted. V'chol tfila mitabelet rak derech, Ha'ir ba'mikdash, and the prayer is only answered if it goes through the place of the Beis HaMikdash. All prayer from Klal Yisrael goes up from one place on earth. Not from Cincinnati, not from St. Louis, not from New York. It goes all toward, I'm talking about Shemona Esrei now, the main tefillah. It all goes, therefore, toward that one place, Kodesh Kodashim, and that's the one place on earth where all prayer then goes, the Shemayim, if you will, goes to Ribbono Shel Olam. From that one place. Also, Mekevan Chikain, therefore, Siruf Tefilot Mizugan, therefore the mixing together of all prayers and coming together. Imacherot, with all others in the world, Mitashim Rak Ayide Kibunat Tefila Lamakom Echad Lamikdash. That only happens, all comes together when everyone is focusing on that one place, even though we daven as individuals, or even better than that, as a tzibor. But even as a tzibor, as a congregation, there are many different congregations in a city, in a community, in a state, in a country. But all come together at the Kodesh HaKodashim for the ultimate tefillah b'tzibur, all of Klal Yisrael, in the Holy of Holies. Then he says below, three lines from the bottom, same paragraph, Omnam Rambam posek ki kivun panim keneg Yerushalayim eino ma'akev. As I pointed out to you, the Rambam says that if your face isn't toward the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, still you could be yotzei your davening. Aval yesh lomar ki mikol makom kivun alev ma'akev. But as I said before, the Rav Soloveitchik says, but if you're not focused in your heart and mind upon the Beis HaMikdash, then yes, that's ma'akev that interferes with your prayer. Now, maybe the Rambam says in source number 11, and this we have to close with this and then some final comments. I will ask you, what is special about the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKodashim? What is so special about it? The Rambam says in Beis HaBechira, and then we can understand why we have this Tisha B'Av. Mesorot B'Yad HaKol,
It's a tradition that everyone has, said the Rambam. Just listen to this and keep this, you know, close to yourself. This is a very important statement. Shamakom Shabana Bo David Shlomo Mizbeach the Gorin Arona. He says that the place where David Amelach and Shlomo built the Mizbeach, the Beis Hamikdash was built, Umakom Shabana Bo Avraham Mizbeach, it's the place where Abraham built his altar when he offered Bakaralav Yitzchak, when he offered Yitzchak there, Behu Amakom Shabana Bo Noach Kishiyatza Minateva, it's the same place where Noach built his sacrifice, Behu Amizbeach Shikri Valav Kain Bahavel, it's the same place where Kain and Havel brought their sacrifices, Ubo Hikriv Adam Arishon Korban Kishinivra, and that's where the first human brought his sacrifice to thank God for creating him, Umisham Nivra. And a human being was created from that place, from that dirt. Amru Chachamim, the sages said, Adam mimakom kaparato nivra. Man was created from the very place of his atonement. Whenever I step back from Shemona Esrei, we said, what do you think when you go into it now, the Kodesh HaKadoshim? When I step back, I think I'm now leaving this place. This place where it says in the Rambam, it's quoting the Gemara actually, that very ground I'm made out of is right there. The place I'm leaving right now is where I am made of. You know, why is it that a Jew, especially we think about non-observant Jews, that goes on trips to Eretz Yisrael, they're far away from everything that is Jewish, these Jews. And yet they touch the stones of the Kotel. They go to where the Beis Hamikdash was. And they cry. Why? How can it be explained? If we would explain it, I would explain it this way. Because man, including that Jew, was created at that place, from that dust. It is the source of that person's life being right there and of his soul. So he feels connected. He feels it's his home. He feels this is where I come from. So when I step back, after entering the Kodesh HaKodashim, after davening, so I recognize I have just been in my place of creation. I am then walking away, I feel, from davening to Hashem with new kochos, with new strength, new abilities. I am stronger than I was before because I was omed lifnei Hashem. I was standing in front of God. I can improve myself. I can become better. I can do tshuva. I can reestablish my connection with Hashem. And we can all do that. We can all do that as a Klal Yisrael. We can restore the relationship that was so badly damaged with the Korban Beis Hamikdash. Each of us has the potential to be the Kohen Gadol every time we daven, to enter the holiest place every day when we daven, and to then live holier lives as a result of that experience. The next time you daven, recognize that fact. And if we all live to do that, we will have thereby laid the foundation for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. May it happen. B'mehera, b'yameinu.